WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We're trying to save Christmas from the shapocalypse, Brother Brian. We don't have to get out on the interstate in our cars and SUVs with I this and I that stuck in our heads, listening to the dashboard shout, buy, buy, spend, spend. This season, we can create Christmas ourselves.
I love how he says the shapocalypse, Brother Brian. That was Reverend Billy from the Church of Stop Shopping on our show on Wednesday. Hope you caught it. It was, among other things, highly entertaining. You can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show if you want to hear our Reverend Billy archive. He and his wife even sang the First Amendment on the show. But we're replaying that to set up a serious call-in on holiday values, because the Thanksgiving weekend just passed, officially began the holiday season as we observe it in this country, of course. And every year, people say, remember that consumerism's not the thing. The meaning of the holidays are. So Reverend Billy got the point across that the consumerism is not the thing, and you all know that. So let's go a level deeper today and ask, what is the thing? What does the holiday season really mean to you? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. I mean, after you get past the snarky comments about the Black Friday sales, and then you go and take advantage of the sales anyway, after you get past the fact that today is Cyber Monday. Happy Cyber Monday. Do you know about Cyber Monday yet? If Friday is the biggest retail shopping day of the year traditionally, today, at least in the last few years, the Monday after Thanksgiving is said to be the biggest online shopping day of the year. We'll see if that changes, but somebody dubbed it Cyber Monday, so I'm calling it Cyber Monday. So after you go online and buy that thing looking for free shipping, 212-433-WNYC, to talk about the deeper meaning of the holiday. Serious question, 212-433-9692. And tell us, is it just about family togetherness? Important in its own right. Is it about something more than that? Is it about peace on earth and goodwill to man, as the words have it? Or is that just a meaningless cliche? If so, however, how do you express that in your own life? Does this time of year reset your values in any meaningful way? Do you focus more on what's right and what's wrong at the holiday season? 212-433-9692. And if so, is this explicitly linked to religion for you? Is it about Jesus if you're Christian? Do you express your holiday values personally or with some kind of religious community or other community of meaning? And how do you try to take this into the rest of the year with you, right? Because you're not like a jerk on January 1st through November 30th, and then you turn into peace on earth and goodwill to man, right? So does it really inform something for the rest of the year? Are people even having these conversations anymore? Or is this just really like, oh yeah, that? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's see, do we have anybody up on this yet? Let me try Elaine in Pearl River. Is that who this is?
Yes, this is
Elaine. Hi, Elaine. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm Greek Orthodox, so when we celebrate the Nativity of Christ, we actually precede it starting November 15th. Not everyone does this, but uh-huh. Our family, we have what's called a fast, so we abstain from meat and dairy products, which and it's a time of a very quiet reflection where we're supposed to be doing charitable works. We're supposed to be praying more. Fasting is not just not eating the food. It's fasting from, you know, nasty habits or mm-hmm. whatever. So by the time December 25th rolls around, you know, so many people are already burned out on the holiday. Like they pre-celebrate it. And
buying and wrapping and going to office parties and everything else. Right.
And so we celebrate December 25th. And, of course, some people are on the old calendar, which isn't until January 6th. But, you know, and that's where the 12 days of Christmas come in, where you're celebrating December 25th.
It's the same reason why the holiday shopping catalogs now go out shortly after Labor Day.
Yes.
But where does it, do you find that this resets you in some way for the rest of the year?
Absolutely. When I was a kid, you know, we had a very consumerish holiday, and I used to always, you know, there was always that sense of being let down after, you know, because there's such a hype about what you want to get. Mm-hmm. And as an adult, I just decided, and with my husband, you know, we just thought, you know, we're going to do it differently, and we're going to follow the old traditions, and we're going to fast. And it's hard because a lot of people are having parties, and they're serving, you know.
Well, do you really avoid it, or do you do the shopping and gift giving also?
Well, I've actually done, we did all our shopping online before Thanksgiving, and that way it doesn't interfere with.
Oh, that's an interesting approach. So you do it, but you get, well, you're just the early bird, right? Catching the spiritual worm here. You get the shopping out of the way before Thanksgiving. You celebrate the holiday on November 15th. I guess that's one approach. Elaine, thank you very much. David in New Brunswick, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi. You're on
I'm in Shrewsbury, New Jersey.
Close. Sorry. Okay.
Hi. Yeah, I'm a Presbyterian minister in Shrewsbury, and my ancestors were Druids, and they looked at life, they looked for thin places where you could see through to the deeper reality of life, past all the hoo-ha. And I think
where do you find them in Shrewsbury?
Where do I find them? All over the place, but my koi pond. But there's...
What's a koi pond?
I have a koi pond, yeah.
What is a koi pond?
What is a koi pond?
I should know what a koi pond is, I guess. Oh, it's a fish
pond. It's a
Japanese
koi.
Oh.
And you go out there in the waterfall and you find a thin place.
Right.
But Christmas is that.
I didn't know the species.
Christmas is a it's a thin place because it's the dark time of the year and you light lights in the middle of the darkness. You have a child that represents power. You all these anachronisms that you can see through to something more meaningful that is kind of goes against the Niagara fall of everything else that's fallen on you.
Yeah, and can you create that space?
Yeah, I try to do that not only for myself but for other people. I decorate the house and invite people in to share in it. I collect angels and I talk about the meaning of Christmas in classes I teach and in sermons. I wrote a book about that kind of stuff.
And so go there a little bit because I really want to hear an expression of what the values are.
Well, I think too often we get tied up in the normality of life, you know, and making and adding up and the anxieties and all that stuff. And so what I try to do is look past that stuff into the places where you can stand, the grounds of being. And that has to do with relationships, and it has to do with things that you can't buy. And miracles, you know, that just common everyday miracles of beauty. And my parents tried to teach me to pay attention, you know, to the old-fashioned omens and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think it's any magical. I think it's just the way life is beautiful. Mm-hmm.
And how you position yourself to interact with it.
Yeah, and it's relationships. It's all about relationships with the universe and with each other and with things that are larger than we are.
David, thank you very much. Kathleen in Reading, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kathleen.
Hey, Brian. Well, I'm speaking today primarily as somebody who has struggled with consumerism. My husband and I have two preteen kids, and of course they are already starting to work up their Christmas lists.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that we do with our church, and we're part of a Roman Catholic church out here in Georgetown, Connecticut, we have what we call a redirection of Christmas, and families within the church sign up to adopt, quote-unquote, families that are in parishes elsewhere in Fairfield County. And we have adopted a family of kids that are comparable in age to our own, and my boys now are getting excited about shopping for these other kids who...
Mm-hmm.
are more concerned about having coats and gloves and hats, and it's not all about getting the iPod that has the most memory and that sort of thing.
It's,
and the
it's a
redirection
great phrase,
of program,
redirection of Christmas. It's a great phrase.
It is a great phrase, and we've now got about 200 families that have been adopted within our parish family. We've sort of broadened our perspective out, and we've got about 200 families that have been adopted. And it's a program that's a few years old, but we are getting a lot of interest from other organizations.
Mm-hmm. And so do you just do that instead of getting your kids, you know, the latest iPod with the most memory or whatever they may ask you for, or in addition to?
Well, it's a bit of a balancing act, but I think that my kids now are realizing that they're lucky to be able to compare iPods as opposed to a child that may be wondering if they're going to have a warm coat or something that's much more essential mm-hmm. for a holiday celebration. And I think it gives them a different perspective. They've become more modest in the kinds of requests
right.
that they're asking us for.
Yeah, great point.
Or Santa.
Kathleen, I'm going to leave it there and get some other folks
sure.
on. Thank you very, very much. And Martine in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Martine.
Hi, Brian. I'm glad you took my call.
Sure.
My call is actually appropriate following your last callers because I'm responding to, I was very touched by an article in the Saturday's New York Times on the elderly, the poor elderly in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just very moved by it, and it's really been on my mind. And this is basically the elderly who a treat for them and a real luxury would be a Hershey bar. Another 83-year-old woman has never had been to a hair salon, and she would like that. And it's just, as I said, on my mind. And so this morning I've just been trying to locate the agency in this town in Maine and to see if there's a way to have some of these people that they talk about in the article have some of these dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very timely that you're having this because about a half hour ago I was thinking about this and I decided that this year for Hanukkah I have a 17-year-old daughter and instead of buying her seven or, you know, eight gifts, I will buy her a few gifts. But I think the rest of the money that I would normally spend on gifts for her, I would like to find a way, and I'm sure I will, that this elderly person in
right.
Maine can go to the hairdresser.
And are you going to try to involve her in that?
Yes, exactly. First, I want to talk to her about it. And I was just thinking, even in terms of wouldn't it be wonderful if we could take a drive out there and even meet some of these people and
yeah.
go to the hairdresser with them and just see what their lives are like. I mean, they're so different from the way we live here in the Manhattan. I think it would just be a great lesson if it were she, my daughter, and a friend of hers. And I'm just hoping
right.
that this call, as your listeners mm-hmm. you know, hear about all this, that they too might go out and do something like this. You know, so you take away mm-hmm. you know, an extra shirt from Urban Outfitters or these, you know, all these stores that kids love. And you sort of redirect it.
Right. Well, redirection of Christmas seems to be the theme here. Roy, and so thanks, Martine. Roy in Northport, you're on WNYC. Hi, Roy.
It's Ray, but that's...
Ray, I'm sorry.
I belong to a Unitarian Fellowship. I was raised as a Catholic. I am a secular humanist, and our little group within the Unitarian Fellowship has been asked to make a presentation on one Sunday as to how we handle the holidays. Now, there's no one universal secular humanist view. Some of them are so intent on the separation of church and state, they don't want to see anything in that fellowship that resembles anything that
mm-hmm.
is true religion.
Or anything special in the season at all, even linked to the solstice or anything?
Oh yes, there's a group that does that, you know. And we do have a Kwanzaa celebration, we have a Hanukkah celebration, we have a Seder, and we also have a Christmas program, but it's largely a feast of lights. But
yeah.
my argument to the ones who are much too rabid about throw the baby out with the bathwater is that we often confuse theology with culture. And to me, I celebrate Christmas in my house with a tree and the gifts and everything that all my family has been used to.
Right. So that's a holding on to the culture and to the tradition and
right.
to the
that's
family closeness. But so what about underlying values for a Unitarian?
Well, since we're very active in social justice, the notion of giving at a special time seems a little out of whack.
You're there 12 months a year.
And certainly we do not like the commercialism that goes with Christmas.
Ray, thank you very much. And Doug in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Doug.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, what you thinking?
I find Christmas very stressful for three main reasons. One, we lose control with our family because we get inundated with toys. And then two, we watch, it's kind of destructive because we watch our grandparents who are really going into debt and further debt. And then three, it's hard to kind of feel any joy in all this when the families of troops are really, really suffering right now.
Yes.
And, you know, to go back to that redirect thing,
yeah.
You know, I would suggest, you know, redirecting some attention to the families of the troops, because you're talking about tens of thousands of injured soldiers and, you know, thousands of families with dead soldiers, you know, men and women who come home, mothers and fathers.
Doug, it's a good thought, and I'm going to leave it there to get one more in. Nora in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. You'll get our last 30 seconds. Hi, Nora.
Hi, I'm calling. I'm 21, and I'm an art student in Brooklyn, and I was sort of thinking about listening to your show and thinking I didn't really have any feelings about the season, that sort of a passive rejector, and I thought that that was maybe interesting. As you know, I can't speak for everyone, but sort of a reflection of the way my generation sort of greets the season. And now it's, I think in a lot of ways, it's sort of meaningless for me. I don't...
Passive rejector, because you reject the consumerism, but you don't find a replacement level of meaning?
Yeah. And, you know, it's like there's holiday parties and things like this, but I don't...
What do you think? We have 10 seconds, but what do you think about all these people who've been calling and saying what they do?
You know, I think that this is so personal, and I think that's great that people have something to believe in this time of year, but I think that for me, it's sort of, you know, the season.
Nora, thanks for your call, and thanks to all of you for your calls. Unfortunately, we're flat out of time. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.